Welcome to the official podcast of the Irish Association of Speech and Language Therapists, the IASLT in Conversation. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Stephanie Okafor, a recently graduated speech and language therapist, currently working in paediatrics and primary care. You're very welcome to the podcast, Stephanie.
Hi, Caroline. Good evening. I'm so glad to be here and thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. So we kind of like to start sometimes with, I guess, what inspired you to kind of become a speech and language therapist? Was there anything in particular that drew you to the course and the job?
So I feel like inspiration comes from like a whole bunch of different places. And for me, like, I remember like putting down my different like CEO options. And I was like, okay, I know I want to work with people and I have an interest in like human health, but I also have an interest in like, you know, human interactions, communication, languages. Like I really like doing studying languages as well. So so for me, I knew in like when I wanted to help out people, I wanted to make sure that they could like achieve their fullest potential, like their full potential. And I could see that happening through like me like building meaningful relationships with them. So therapy was definitely one of the like the aspects that really did interest me. Mm-hmm. And then in particular to like speech therapy, because I was really interested like in the human connection side of things. It wasn't until one of my family friends who's a nurse told me about like SLT, because I was very much like a lot of people kind of coming in like having that interest in medicine or kind of like the occupational therapy or physiotherapy. But it wasn't until like a nurse actually told me about like SLT. So, and she kind of told me about the role of SLT that way. And I was like, that's quite interesting. And then adjacent to that, I also know a family friend who's autistic as well. And I was able to see like the progress that he like was making in terms of his means of like communication. And I remember talking to like their mom and stuff, and just seeing like the how like SLT has really enabled him to like, you know, be his own advocate that way. So I was like, great, I can actually see the tangible effects of what an SLT intervention looks like. And I think also like my fate plays a big role in it as well. I kind of was really not sure what to do. And like, yeah, I just felt like during COVID, you know, I was able to like hear from God and like, yeah, like, and then know that this was kind of my role that way. So many different factors have really influenced. So like why I'm here today and why SLT still kind of inspires me anyway. So yeah.
Well, that's great. It sounds like kind of inspiration came from a number of different kind of aspects of your life to become a speech and language therapist. Is there anything that has kind of surprised you since you've started working as a speech and language therapist about the job or the career?
As a new grad, I feel like definitely like the level of administration has not in terms surprised me, but like it's really as just as important as carrying out therapy. In the sense of you planning pathways for the clients that you're seeing, ensuring that like if a person can't attend like a session, being able to investigate the reasons or why and how best to support them, and also being able to like to liaise with teachers and other healthcare professionals as well. So at first the admin side was like, oh, that's something I kind of felt like was something that you kind of learn as you go along, but I think that's something that surprised me, but kind of a good surprise in the sense of that. And another nice surprise was the aspect of, let's say, problem solving, in the sense of being able to piece together a person for who they are in terms of like their level of like their communication in terms of speech, like what could be contributing to the way that they speak. And that could be from a biomedical side of things and also like a sociolinguistic side of things. And then being that kind of problem solver, solving therapist, being able to figure out what best approach to carry out in terms of intervention, whether that be like for a 4-week or a 6-week block or for a group and whatnot. So you're always kind of thinking and beyond like the page, always like, so you're always kind of thinking beyond the referral page essentially.
And those are, I think those are skills that are great to kind of build up as you go, and it also can be a little bit of a shock to the system, especially all that admin work and, as you said, the kind of problem solving through cases. Are there any other kind of skills from your training that you've found useful in your practice?
I would say definitely from like at my time in Trinity and stuff, like we had like a big focus on taking a person-centered approach, and then like that in itself is a skill, being able to sit down and realize what does this person need right now in this moment. So that's really informed me in terms of like assessment, particularly with me working with children at the moment, what is expected for children to be able to say at this age, or what kind of linguistic skills are really expected for them, rather than kind of doing your best to target every single aspect of language all at once. And also to see like a client just in terms of like their like support system, and how well, like, you know, like even the intervention that you do carry out with them, how can that be supported outside of the clinic as well. So that's one skill, like the person-centered approach was really like helpful. Another skill I would have kind of like learned a lot, I feel like a lot of people would have learned a lot, would be like session planning from our clinical placements. So knowing how to essentially start a session, knowing what to expect, and knowing what to like achieve during a session, and then knowing what your end point of like an assessment or therapy is. And it's been able, like it's going through like my clinical placements, I've been able to like see how far I've progressed in terms of like, you know, listing the resources I need, knowing what evidence I need to turn to and stuff. So planning sessions has definitely been like a real good skill to have. And then one last skill also is the ability to kind of access like the knowledge base. So when I am faced with a presentation that I'm not too familiar with, because like for whatever reason, I'm able to like kind of consult like my own like college lecture slides or clinical guidance, or, you know, even like position papers, as you might find on ISLT, and also other like resources as well, in your local clinic and stuff. And knowing that you are equipped to go out and seek that knowledge is like really, really helpful anyway. So yeah, those three skills I would definitely mention are really great to have. And I'm using them every day. So
fantastic. Yeah. And you mentioned that you're in primary care in pediatrics at the moment. What areas of kind of the speech and language therapy are you most passionate about?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many different things, because like with SLT, like it's so diverse everywhere, like the different aspects you can work in. So for me, I'm really at the moment, and I think this also ties into something I'd love to like research a lot more of. So I'd love to like research the area of like stammering as well. So stammering in the sense of like kind of taking a neuroaffirmative approach, I'm able to like let people know who's stammering that it's okay to sound the way that they do. It's okay to have bumpy speech, and kind of give them skills, like kind of show them different skills and strategies to be more confident in the way that they communicate as well. So that's definitely something I'd be passionate and very passionate to kind of learn more about. And then also something I'm only kind of really getting into now is like doing group therapy. I'm learning a lot doing like group therapy, like given that I've only kind of been working for like 4 months. But in the times that I have been able to do group therapy, I think it's quite some people find it a bit challenging, but I feel like that's quite a nice way to kind of have clients, children learn from each other as well. So I think but group therapy is something I'm actually quite passionate about, and I might be alone in this, but I love group therapy. And then also coming up with like clever like resources as well. Like I love little like making little textile resources that people can kind of like, you know, pick up and then know that like, oh, I'm going to go through this and stuff. So anything that's kind of really sensory and stuff and kind of gets the job done, I love that. I love those kind of like resources that way. So yeah.
Fantastic. That's kind of a nice kind of holistic approach, and I love your passion about group interventions or group therapy, because it's a real kind of naturalistic way for young people especially to learn, because that's kind of their environment every day.
100%, like definitely.
And
And
are there other areas that you'd kind of like to explore a little bit further?
So I know I mentioned like stammering and stuff. I would like to I would be also interested to kind of study a lot more about, let's say, the kind of like counseling or like the psychosocial aspects of SLT and like stuff, and also adjacent to that, like SLT in terms of like advocacy, and then also be kind of like really speech work as well, like that kind of like one-to-one like articulation work. But at the same time, I also quite like language as well at the moment, definitely like artic work and being able to see how like how best to kind of get like a set number of drills and just seeing how things generalize into everyday speech and stuff. So yeah, so that kind of speech sound and side of stuff, but also like kind of psychosocial and also like the like counseling as well. And I know that kind of ties in with people who work in CAMHS and stuff. So I think that would be quite like that'd be something I'd be like love I'd love to like learn more about anyway. So
Great. And I think it's a big area of kind of expansion, isn't it? How, SLT actually fits into all the different aspects and areas of healthcare, between primary care, disability services, mental health services for across the lifespan, not only in pediatrics, but across the lifespan. And it's great that you kind of have an interest in exploring that, as well as all of the specific kind of SLT bits, like the speech, the artic, the language. That's fantastic. As a kind of a new speech and language therapist, as you said, I think you mentioned that you're working about 4 months now. What challenges do you think new speech and language therapists face today?
But yeah, no, in terms of like for new grad, I could kind of like think of like three like major ones and set essentially. So I would say time management, and I'd actually like to break that down into like two different aspects. So I would say like on like a micro level. So a micro level would be like I'm looking at my calendar and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to see all the clients that I need to see within like the week or the month, but also trying to schedule in admin time, but also trying to schedule in times where I need to like set aside time to simulate what I'm learning. So all of that, like you really do have to manage your time and like know what works for you. So that can be a challenge when you're first kind of finding your feet as well. And then in terms like on a macro level, like as a new grad, I feel like I'm going through like a kind of a major life change in the sense that like me getting to and from work, I'm seeing changes in like, my day-to-day schedule. So I'm working like full time and stuff. So my weekends are kind of put on pause for a little bit at the moment. And then even just social routines as well, making sure that you do have time to meet up with friends, spend time with family, of course, and also like from a kind of emotional part of the part as well, because you are learning. I feel that like as new grads, we're learning a lot by like, let's say, trial and error, or by, kind of literally finding your own style of therapy, that it's also really important that you do look out for yourself and stuff. So that also kind of ties in with that. And then I say for ourselves as like new grads in this day and age, some other challenges we might face would be, let's say, overall, let's say like service demands. I know like given the climate that we're in, like it can feel that you're one person against a whole like kind of system trying to, kind of shorten the wait list as much as possible, and you can just be seeing yourself as one individual. But it really is helpful to know that very often you're not alone, and that many of your peers and also like supervisors have been in this position and do all face like the reality of service demands. And then also on the flip side of that, like I think What can be a challenge, but is a really great learning opportunity, is our diversity in population. So in terms of linguistically, we're seeing a lot more people who come from different linguistic backgrounds, and also embracing neurodiversity as well. We're seeing a lot more people that are that have who are on different spectrums of neurodiversity, and it's just so nice to be able to ensure that everyone is empowered to communicate the way that they feel like best represents them and stuff. So yeah, I think that's really great. And I feel as a new grad, we do have an opportunity to experience all of these true fresh eyes and just kind of be really reflective on what we're learning and stuff. So yeah. And then, oh yeah, also one last challenge. I think as a new grad, you can kind of feel the idea of being your own therapist can kind of seem overwhelming for some people, in the sense that as SLTs, we're quite an autonomous profession, in the sense that you are led by your clinical judgment and the evidence-based practice that you have been trained up in. And so for sometimes it can really feel like, oh, that there's you have been entrusted with a lot of power, of course, but it's so great that you can kind of avail of stuff like supervision to make sure that you're still on the straight and narrow, of course. So yeah, don't worry, those are all my points for
And
knowledge.
I love when you speak about challenges and you're so positive. I love how you reframe them into, opportunities for growth or opportunities for development and services. It's a lovely attitude to have when, especially when things in services can be hard and can be challenging. You mentioned kind of supervision. Is there's something in supervision, anything in particular that you found very helpful in terms of supervision or the structure or?
Yeah, so in terms of supervision, so in case anyone's unfamiliar with that, so new grads particularly, and everybody across the stages of being an SLT, so they can avail of someone who is kind of more advanced in their years of practice. And this is like protected time that I know as a new grad I would be getting every week, to kind of approach your supervisor with any questions or queries or any ideas that you have for intervention. And for me, I have really benefited from having an open space to actually ask what seems like silly questions. It might be like, oh, what's the best time to call a teacher or something? And for me also, it's been great to get that very direct guidance as well, because sometimes it can just be the case that you could be stumped somewhere, and it's not until someone sees a presentation from a different perspective, and that's when that door opens and you're like, oh wow, I can actually try XYZ and see how they respond to things as well. And it's also great to kind of measure your own progress, so find that you're kind of taking longer to do aspects and stuff. They can always your supervisor can always show you different ways to do things smarter, or to kind of avail of the resources that already exist. So I think having supervision overall is a great means of support to help you grow as is. So yeah.
Fantastic. And I guess we've heard from a number of people kind of throughout the year about supervision, and it's great to get the perspective from a newly graduated SLT on how important that supervision and that kind of mentorship is. If there is a piece of advice that you might give to a student SLT in training, what advice might you give them?
Oh yeah, feels like it's been so long, but also not so long since I was a student anyways. But just a few words of advice, I guess, is any things just learning and getting learnings, an aspect of the role or the job is one thing, and then also getting also becoming quite competent and confident in that is a totally different thing, and the timeline between both of these can be quite different and stuff. So always give yourself enough time and grace to learn things, whether that be At the assessment of particular presentations or reeling off the evidence behind stuff, a lot of it can seem challenging, of course. And challenging is not always a bad thing, in the sense that, like, if it's challenging, it probably is worth knowing. And that another thing is that, like, it's important that you just, like, again, you don't give up. You know, that there's many people that have been in your shoes, in the sense that, like, you know, they might not have known all the answers and stuff, but do avail of, like, your peers, of, like, your lecturers, and know, and always, like, and always have a reason for, always come back to the reason why you are in the course that you're in. You know, what is holding you here? What is keeping you passionate about this role? Because that is something that will hold you even once you're out the other side of your studies, of course. So yeah, no, keep going. And one last message also would be to know your worth. I think that's really important, especially for when we work in multidisciplinary teams and stuff. It's so important that you can advocate for yourself and the value that you add to your team, whether that's in an acute setting or if it's in a community setting, or even if it's among, like, your peers, or like your any walk of life, just knowing the impact and value you add to people's lives as a speech language therapist. So yeah,
I think that's just a lovely piece of advice. All of the pieces you mentioned, and especially that part about advocating for ourselves and our role, which we have, again, we've spoken about it on many different podcasts over the past few months or the past year, and how it is actually, it's continued to be a large role for all SLTs in all kind of walks of life in all areas to advocate for ourselves and advocate for our role, particularly on MDTs and in areas where we might not be as vocal or prominent. Is there anything that you wish more people understood about the role of SLT?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I feel like a lot of people, whether that's people kind of coming into, like, the course and studying it, or whether it's parents that are walking to the clinic the first time round, and they have a lot of, like, a lot of notions, like, when it comes to, like, you know, not notions, like, kind of ideas, sorry, ideas when it comes to SLT. So my kind of thing I'd love to let everyone know is that, like, therapy as a whole does take time, and that doesn't mean that it's not working. And whether that be, like, you know, a lot of the time it's going to be true intervention. And I know I've heard people have from interacting with parents and other peers as well, that the expectation is that, like, if you present with a challenge, that this challenge is going to, like, remedify or disappear overnight or in a couple of weeks, but that's very much not the case all the time. So that generally that therapy does take time, progression does take time, and that everybody's therapy paths all look different. Everybody is an individual when it comes to healthcare. Everyone's an individual when it comes specifically to SLT. So, and what we are equipped to do as SLTs are to, like, enable people to, maximize their, like, potential when it comes to communication. And communication can look different, and is different for so many people, whether that be through augmentative and alternative communication, so AAC, or whether that be through hand gestures, or whether that be through, like, body language, and just being able to, you know, advocate and let people know that this is a person's way of communicating and stuff. So that communication is not just how you sound, or not just how people say you should sound and stuff, but it's what essentially gets your message across and what ensures that you are understood by other people as well. So yeah,
fantastic. And it's more kind of advocating for a role, and I just love how passionate you are about it, and how holistically you kind of approach the job of SLT, and it's just so lovely. So finally, we like to ask all our guests on the podcast, what do you see as the best part of being a member of the ISLT?
In terms of being a member of of the Irish Association of Speech and Language Therapists, I think it's great to be part of an association. It's great to be part of a force, and that gives expression to like our advocacy as a whole in terms of like raising awareness of what we do as SLTs here in our individual, like, you know, clinics, but also what we do in terms of the general health system. I feel like that's really great to be part of that. Another great thing when it comes is the availability of what we call, like, you know, position papers or general guidance about like different presentations and stuff. So it really is helpful to like just hop onto the ISLT website and be able to be read up on such presentations and be clued up on that. Then also, I know there's like a number of SIGs, so special interest groups that ISLT hosts as well. So you can always like join that and then essentially become parts of communities that are really interested in things that you're interested in, such might be like voice or like stammering or a whole bunch of different kind of interests and stuff. And it's just nice to know that, like, you know, there are jobs available that do get on advertised on ISLT. And like even me just saying this, I feel I've only just scratched the surface of like all the benefits of being a part of ISLT. And it's also great for, like, you know, your CPD talks and seminars that you can attend. So, and I think what's also great, especially for new grads, are the new grad membership, and just knowing that there are so many ways that they can guide you as you transition into being, like, you know, like really, really competent in the role as an SLT. So yeah, I feel like I've only just barely scratched the surface, but there are so many benefits to being a member. I would highly suggest that you become one. So
thank you so much, Stephanie. Great. So that brings us to the end of today's conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, and an especially big thank you for our guest for sharing her experience in the world of SLT. As I said, Stephanie, I love how passionate you are about the job and the role, and I'm sure you will go so far.
Thank you so much, Caroline, and thank you so much, ISLT, for having me. So,
thank you. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to tune in to the ISLT in Conversation, where we continue to explore the stories, science, and voices shaping speech and language therapy in Ireland and beyond. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.